This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hello and welcome to Slate Money Goes to the Movies, and oh boy, do we have a corker of a movie with which we are kicking off this season. I'm Felix Salmon of Axios. I'm here with Emily Peck of Axios.
Hey, Barbie.
I'm here with Elizabeth Spires of All Over the Place.
Hi, Barbie.
Yes, and we are talking Barbie, and we have a truly Barbie-licious, perfectly wonderful, brilliant, perfect person to talk Barbie with. You've heard her name on this show many times in the past, but you've never heard her voice. Shayna Roth.
Hey, Barbie. I was thinking maybe I should go with a hey, Ken, just to be different, but.
Shayna, introduce yourself. Who are you?
I am Shayna Roth. I am a senior producer at Slate. I produce The Waves, which is Slate's gender and feminism show. I also pretty frequently host The Waves, including The Waves' really exciting Barbie episode. It wasn't necessarily about the movie, but it was about the history of Barbie and Barbie as a feminist icon. I also jump around on different shows across the Slate network, either producing or guesting or guest hosting. And so, yeah, I'm kind of all around at Slate.
A woman of many talents. Indeed. We are extremely excited to have you on the show. And because this is Slate Money, I think I'd like to start by asking you, what is your opinion of how capitalism is, you know, comes across in this movie? Is this a pro-capitalist movie? Is it an anti-capitalist movie? What is it?
I think it is a pro-capitalist movie disguised as an anti-capitalist movie.
Ooh. I like it.
Because, yes, you have Mattel being this like male-dominated conglomerate that is trying to package feminism, girl boss, yay, we can do it-ness in order to make money. But they end up being fine at the end. At the very end, Will Ferrell's like, I have seen the light and I'm going to be a great person now. And I think that anytime that you redeem your capitalist players like that, it's kind of a sign that actually capitalism was our friend all along. And I mean, you really can't ignore the fact that this is a movie about a company, about a product from a company that essentially is being very much endorsed by said company in order to make all of the money.
It's a two-hour ad for a toy made by Mattel.
Yes.
Would you agree with that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think part of the trick, and this is sort of a genius way to do it, is that if they critique an aspect of capitalism, and in this case it's treating women as a consumer category and not as complete human beings, then it seems like they might be indicting capitalism, but not really. I mean, you have a very romantic story behind the founder of Barbie that sort of takes the edge off of criticisms of the toy and the narrative around the toy. And you know, there is a nice happy ending where everyone is more self-aware. So, yeah, I think they do a little bit of a sleight of hand in the sense that they nod to the capitalistic aspect of what's happening, but without fully, while making you feel good about the fact that it is still, you know, the Barbie you love.
It's about knowing their consumer better so that they way they can make them sell more things. I mean, at the very end, you have our main human pitching new Barbies and then being like, actually, no, this one will sell. Not we like the idea, but it'll sell. So, yeah, let's do this. We can do ordinary Barbie because she will sell.
The movie is hard on patriarchy, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's a pro-patriarchy movie at all. So I guess patriarchy is not the same thing I mean, I know it's not literally the same thing as capitalism, but I guess the argument is patriarchy can be extracted or removed from capitalism. You can perfect the capitalism by removing the patriarchy
exactly.
from
patriarchy
it.
Patriarchy is a stain on capitalism, and the faster it goes away, the better the capitalism will become.
Hmm.
I like this idea, Shayna, that you seem to be having, that the like a spoonful of acid makes the sugar go down. Mm. That like they have a relatively sugary message underneath it all, but no one these days has the appetite for just like a purely bubblicious Barbie. They need a little bit of sort of acidulous cynicism in there somewhere. They need that scene where Barbie is described as being a fascist. Otherwise, like there's no conflict, and you can't have a movie without a conflict.
Well, I think that's also a function of the generation that's really considered culture makers right now, and it's the sort of late Gen X, early millennials. So there's a lot of pandering to us in that movie. And even if you're taking your kids to go see Barbie, now it's impossible to have any kind of kids movie that doesn't have built-in gags and references for, like, there's a pavement joke in Barbie, which to me was the most pandery thing to Gen X audience. But, you know, that's also part of what you need the irony.
I feel like, you know, what was that Nintendo movie that just did blockbuster numbers and had no Gen X credibility whatsoever?
Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, like it's possible, but like, but no, this was definitely the only kids movie I can remember in a long time where all of my adult friends were going to see it, whether or not they had kids. I went to see it. I don't have kids.
Oh, that's not true
a kids
for
movie.
Me.
I didn't think it was a kids movie.
I don't think it's a kids movie. Yeah,
it's the kind of movie that you could take kids to because the theaters absolutely expect that you will. I mean, it's not rated R. It's not, you know.
Right. But it felt like the marketing was very focused on the adults. And I think that was smart. I think that Mattel is drawing the wrong message from how popular the show is. I mean, they're using this as a spring off for turning all of their products into movies, none of which are going to do as good as Barbie. Barbie succeeded because of its advertising to adults and because of its ability to... I think that there are a lot of movies that are marketed towards like men. And this one is very much like, no, we're going to be about women. We're going to be about people who are positive towards women and who want to see feminist ideals succeed. And I think that the takeaway should be that there should be more movies that approach and are for that demographic instead of, oh, it succeeded because it's a doll and it's because of this product. And so let's turn Barney into a movie and let's turn Hot Wheels into a movie and let's turn all of these other things into a movie.
Yeah, I also think it succeeded because of Greta Gerwig and, you know, Noah Baumbach. And you know, how are you going to replicate that with Barney?
You just get Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach.
So I don't think they'd do that again.
I think Mattel's strategy is they're looking at toy sales overall declining these past few years. Like, toys just don't sell the way they used to. So if they want to keep their brands going and they want to keep selling stuff, they have to appeal to older people. They have to mine nostalgia. Mm-hmm. So the movie is really doing that. It's marketing toys to adults. That's the market now. And it definitely has succeeded just in terms of, I see a lot more pink now. Do you guys?
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, it made pink like a very big color all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is great and happy to wear pink now. Whereas I feel like even as early as, you know, a year ago, pink was still that like, oh, it's too girly. We can't do it. It's
right.
It's saying something that's like, it's okay to be girly and fun. And I think that the present moment, this is great for. I mean, women have had a very hard couple of years. And this was something that was giving them optimism, fun, and as Felix pointed out, sugariness, but also letting them get out some of that rage. I mean, you had that speech about how hard it is to be a woman, and I'm sure there were a lot of women that went to it and saw it and were like, I feel seen for the first time in forever.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The irony, of course, and I'm far from the first person to point this out, is that Ryan Gosling kind of steals the show.
He really does.
Right?
He so does.
He's so good. He's so good.
And like, he's by far the most memorable character in the movie. Barbie herself, it just isn't nearly as well-defined.
No, I was watching last night. I went back and I was just watching that dance scene, the fight scene. Mm-hmm. And the big song, and just Ryan Gosling's face and the way he's acting through that whole thing, the whole dance is just, it's just spectacular. It's Margot Robbie. Yeah, she lost to him for sure. But the movie isn't just for men. I think it makes strong points. Isn't just for
it's
women.
It's not just,
I mean,
for men, this movie.
This movie isn't just for women. I mean, it makes really strong points about, and Elizabeth, I think, was getting at this earlier about how the patriarchy is damaging mm-hmm. to men also. I think it's really even-handed on that front. And some of the conservative criticisms were silly, you know.
Yeah, there was a line of criticism from a lot of high-profile right-wing people that said, you know, this movie basically hates men. And it's like,
and
no, you're mad because you're seeing a movie where the male character solely exist as a romantic interest for the protagonist. Like, you're so close to getting it.
And maybe I misspoke. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. It's not marketed towards conservatives or, you know, in a way that would placate or be enjoyed necessarily by conservatives. Whereas a lot of movies, I think you could argue, they just work across all the quadrants and are meant for everybody to be happy, except maybe not thinking as much about women. But yeah, this is definitely something that wasn't meant to appeal necessarily to conservatives if they're not willing to be a little bit more open-minded.
Yeah, there's also a thing I was thinking about earlier was just to go back to the capitalism theme. The line that I think everybody landed on right when the movie came out was the Ken character saying, "My job is beach." And you know, it's sort of true in the Barbie narrative, but when you think about how women are portrayed in the work world in movies where men are the protagonists, mm-hmm. it is kind of, oh, my job is home, or, you know, my job
That's
is
true.
Kids.
Office. My job is office. My job is, yeah. Kids. Emily, you look like you were going to disagree with me. Please do.
I think it was, it's a very entertaining movie and it never gets far enough to be too heavy-handed with messages about the patriarchy or this or that. I feel like at heart, it's a movie that's really meant to appeal to a broad audience and you see that in the numbers, you know? Mm-hmm. It's really at heart, it's a movie, it's like a coming of age, basically, you know? Barbie becomes aware that she's like a person who's going to die someday and she becomes a woman in the movie, right? She's just a girl. She's a toy meant for girls. And then all of a sudden she is a toy that's being played with by a woman and like her whole modality changes as a result. You know what I mean? Like she, of course she doesn't like Ken or have romantic feelings for him. She's just a little kid. Like mm-hmm. girls are like, they look at boys and they go, yuck, like, what are you for? I don't get it. You know what I mean? I felt like it was just like a coming of age movie that really anyone could get into. You know, the character goes through something, she learns a lesson, her feet come down to earth, she puts the Birks on, like,
but it does end with her saying, "I'm here to see my gynecologist," which felt very much like a button of like who this movie is for.
But all women see gynecologists, not just liberal.
Even conservative women even have been noted.
True. Very
you can
true.
Vote for Trump and go to a gynecologist.
I hope that you do.
I hope.
I hope that you do. I think it's important that you do. See your gynecologist.
But I mean, if it wasn't meant for conservatives, then there must not be very many conservatives because it crushed at the box office, right?
Yeah.
Right. I think the kind of people who need to politicize movies were happy to try to politicize this, you know, and you find a few of them, you know, in high profile places. But in broad America, this was not a political movie. This was a wonderful piece of bubblegum entertainment that you could see instead of going to sit through Oppenheimer, and you could bring the whole family and it was funny, and you get to see, you know, Ken having fights and great production design and all of this kind of stuff. And and it's just, and people would go back and people would dress up, and like that, I feel that aspect of it, the way that they really masterfully created a cultural phenomenon where you wanted to go and wear pink and see it in the theater and go with your friends and have that communal theater going experience. It's what Hollywood needed at the time.
Well, also part of it was just coincidental because, you know, Oppenheimer opening the same weekend caused like an entire meta phenomenon that worked, I think, for both movies. It just sort of gave them both.
I think it did. It helped Oppenheimer weirdly somehow.
Yes. I don't know. I feel like it is a political movie. I mean, like, I feel like it's definitely a movie that you can, I don't know. I don't know that you can make a movie arguing for completely undermining the patriarchy and women taking back power in a community and all of these things in 2023 and have it not be political.
Yeah, there's a business.
That's fair.
There's a business case for that though too, because you know, Barbie sales were slipping on criticism that the narrative around the doll was too old fashioned, you know, and no matter how many engineer Barbies Mattel was putting out, that sort of perception of Barbie was still sticking. So I think for the people who are buying Barbies for their kids right now, that's some of the adults who went to see the movie. It's kind of refreshing for them to see a Barbie that's sort of existential dread Barbie. Or a little darker, or acknowledges the absurdities in the narrative. Or, you know, my favorite character was Weird Barbie, which was, I think that was tapping into nostalgia, because if you had Barbies, you had brothers, you absolutely had, or dogs, you had Barbies that were just mauled by people in the house. So,
or you mauled them. We immediately thought of my daughter because all her Barbies look like weird Barbies, because she cuts their hair, she dyes their hair, she does all this crazy stuff to them, no arm or whatever.
And now Mattel is going to issue a weird Barbie that looks like I'm blanking
Shane
on
is shaking her head.
Just, you can't pre-make a weird Barbie. I mean, it's like when you buy jeans that already have rips in them, which I know is a
but
bad
people
thing.
Do.
People, I know, and I know people do it, but it's like, guys, come on. It's not authentic. You can't pre-weird your Barbie.
I went to see Stevie Nicks last week, and in the middle of the show, she comes out and she goes, I have to tell everybody something that nobody knows yet. And this was at Madison Square Garden. She goes, but people will know in a couple of hours. And she pulls out a Barbie doll, and Mattel is making a Stevie Nicks Barbie doll.
Oh, I saw that.
And
oh.
She talked about it for like 30 minutes.
You're like, shut up. I want to listen to some music.
It was really a triumph because, yeah, there's the generation that loved Barbie. Then there's a generation that was like, wanted nothing to do with Barbie because it wasn't feminist. And then Mattel has just been trying and trying for years to be like, no, she is feminist. She can be a doctor. Look, we made one that has a laptop and glasses. And like, look
They're
at
all
this.
Pink,
and
but
yeah, but like, we can do it. And I feel like I was happy that the conversation has advanced from we can't like Barbie because she's not feminist to okay, we know her body is ridiculous and not real, but like it's fine to play with Barbie. Like it's not going to damage your daughter if she has Barbies. There's other stuff in the world that will do that job. Don't worry about it.
Did you guys play with Barbies when you were growing up?
Oh, so much. I was a huge Barbie kid. And it never occurred to me, I think at the time, to be upset about how tiny her waist was. Like, I don't even recall really thinking about it in that way. For me, Barbie was just a vehicle to act out stories, because that was all I wanted to do, was to do imaginative play as a kid. And that was what I used Barbie for. And I think it depends on the kids and what they see. But what I thought was maybe unnecessary, maybe a little heavy-handed, but interesting in the movie is how they sort of explain that Barbie, for all of, you know, your qualms about what she looks like, Barbie was really ahead of her time. I mean, it was brought about at a time when the main toys for girls was, you know, mom and training toys. It was baby dolls and little irons and things like that. And then Barbie comes along and she's not married and she doesn't have a kid. And she later on can be all of these different careers. It was like, hey, here's a doll that will allow you to pretend to be something other than a mom and a housewife. And I think that that is what I always use Barbie for. And like, obviously, as a kid, I wasn't like, here's my feminist thoughts about Barbie while I'm playing it. But I think that I think there's probably a lot of kids that innately hone into that aspect of Barbie. It's the, oh, I can use this as a vessel to be anything I want to be.
Which you can't do with a baby doll, right? You can't pretend that the baby doll is you know, going to the moon and being an astronaut.
No.
You don't need astronaut Barbie to do that, but you do need someone who's recognizably an adult.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing research on babies or something.
There you go. Unless it's a totally different type of play. It's the first baby to space.
But that's why the opening scene of the movie, I thought, was like just so brilliant and captivating. It's like a scene-for-scene reshoot of the first scene of 2001. And, you know, it's all the little girls, and it's all gray, and they're playing with the Barbies, and then someone raises they're playing with baby dolls, rather, and then someone raises one of the dolls in the air, just like they, in 2001, they raise, I think, like a club in the air or something. And then you see Barbie, you know, triumphant and giant. It's so good with that music.
Also Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss, since you asked.
I love that you just had that off the top of your head.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The amount of money that Mattel and the producers put into it was also like it was very visible. I read this fascinating essay about the insane amount of work they did on the color and getting exactly the right shade of pink for Barbie and the kind of color film processing technology that they basically invented in order to perfect the shade of pink in the movie. And that's why the pink that you see in the Barbie movie is a pink you've basically never seen on screen in movie theaters ever in your life. And it pops and it shows. And they spent millions of dollars on this. And it really was a kind of no expense spared production for, you know, a movie that was directed by a woman, and historically speaking, movies directed by women have been relatively, you know, compared to big Hollywood movies, relatively low budget affairs. And now, first with Wonder Woman and now with Barbie, we have reached the world where women can, you know, sit in that director's chair and just be like, I want to spend $5 million on color correcting. And the producers are like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And that should be the lesson here from everybody, which is give more women more opportunities to direct big pictures or even just passion projects. Like, let them do things how they want to do them. And also, by the way, while we're here, also allow them to fail. Because a lot of times, like, because if this had failed and hadn't gone well, I'm fairly certain there would have been a bunch of articles and a bunch of chatter about how, like, well, see, we can't let those women make those girly things.
Oh, yeah. There was zero chance this movie was going to fail. It was destined to succeed.
That's true, but it did blow out expectations. Expectations were high, but its success was, you know, astounding.
And that's why it had to be anti-patriarchy and pro-capitalism, because the whole project is pro-capitalism. Mm-hmm. And Greta Gerwig wants to break into the patriarchal movie industry just as much as, you know, Barbie wants to break Mattel's patriarchal hold over the toy business in the movie. You can't have a big movie like this that's not that's anti-capitalist.
There's a line that Barbie has in the movie where she's talking to the creator of Barbie, and she says, "I want to be part of the people who make meaning, not the thing that gets made." And it's a critique of the commodification of women as products. But also, just to go back to the capitalist theme, it's, you know, I want to be part of the class of people who own the means of production, not, you know, the thing that's produced.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like she wants to blow up the system. She just wants to be one of the people on top of it.
That's a good point.
But she doesn't quite get there, right? I mean, we need to wait for Barbie 2 for that to happen.
Well, after she goes to the gynecologist, she obviously goes back to Mattel and is the new CEO. So.
The girl boss.
Maybe that's what the sequel should do. Just take down
the one thing that never changes is that the CEO of Mattel will always wear rollerblades.
That's no easy feat. Rollerblading is hard.
Yeah, I mean, Will Ferrell on rollerblades. We needed to see it, and we saw it.
He basically has this like side line as corporate overlord in maybe not fully children's movies, but kind of children's movies. Because if you've seen the Lego movie, he plays Lord Business.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the same kind of character.
Which is exactly the same character, right?
Also, pretty Zoolander. Much. Now that you mention it, isn't his character in Zoolander? I mean, he's not like a businessman, but he's kind of like a head of some sort of, I haven't seen Zoolander in forever, but like a head of some sort of like fashion something. He's the one that's trying to bring Zoolander down. It's kind of the same character.
Because he's like a tall white guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have been a CEO in a different life if he wanted. Like, he has the look. And that's all it takes.
As we learned from Ken, that is all it takes.
Patriarchy. It's somehow about horses. It's where men with horses run everything. Is that what patriarchy is?
Oh, my God. The running horse joke was so great. The previous big feminist blockbuster directed by a woman was Wonder Woman, right? Which cleaved much more closely to Hollywood formula, but was also incredibly successful. How would you sort of compare those? Did Barbie manage to do something that even Wonder Woman couldn't?
I don't think those two movies are in the same category at all. Like, I think the superhero movies are their own genre. They have different economics, different audiences. There probably is a good comparable for Barbie, but I don't think that would be it just because it has a female protagonist.
I think Barbie's a more feminist movie probably than Wonder Woman was.
You think? I mean, I think Barbie might be more obviously. But I don't know, man. Mm. Wonder Woman, seeing all of the Amazons in the first 20 minutes and all of what they were doing. And then I just remember that initial fight scene of all of the Amazons working together and just sitting in a theater going like, I have never seen this before, which was sad and tragic. Mm. And but being like, oh, my gosh,
cool, this is great. I get to see this on a screen. Whereas with Barbie, I felt like maybe the speeches that like America Ferrera gave, I hadn't really seen on screen before, but it wasn't, mm-hmm. it didn't quite grab me the way I think that like Wonder Woman did. And knowing that there was like a female behind the scenes giving this empowering female character this really great arc, and you know, seeing a superhero female not sexualized. Yeah, I don't know.
Did you get just a random recommendation? I don't know if you guys saw The Woman King, which is
not
explicitly a superhero movie, but it's fantastic, especially if that's what you liked about Wonder Woman.
I'm gonna have to see that.
So, is there gonna be a Barbie sequel? And there's bound to be, right? This one was just way too successful for there not to be.
But Greta Gerwig just doesn't seem like a sequel gal. Yeah. So if there is, and she's not part of it, I feel like it's going to be not great.
She might not be a sequel girl, but she also likes, you know, $20 million paycheck. So probably she'll do it.
I think this is one of those movies that is primed to have one of those like really bad sort of straight to video type sequels, like Mean Girls, when they did a Mean Girls 2, where nobody from the original was involved in it, but they're like, hey, we have the same kind of ish plot line and ish school, so we're going to make it a sequel and slap the name Mean Girls 2 on it. I think this is possible that we're going to get a Barbie where it's just some random blonde that nobody's ever heard of and some other random blonde, and they're going to be like, it's Barbie Land, but nobody involved in the original is involved in it, and everybody's going to hate it and be mad.
What probably could work, though, is if they took one of the characters and spun them off. Like, I would watch an entire movie about Alan.
Or Midge. Yeah. Or Midge.
I think that, you know, Greta Gerwig came up through quirky independent films, and everyone's like, oh, that makes you a quirky independent filmmaker. And obviously you would never want to do Barbie 2 because that's too mainstream. But one of the narratives that I really liked about Barbie, like one of the meta-narratives about the movie, was the way in which Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie, you know, were very hands-on producers, and they made an absolute shit ton of money off it because they had the, you know, they produced the movie, and getting rich off a successful, popular entertainment product is a great feminist thing to do, and there's no shame in that. And if there's demand in the market for Barbie 2 and we can make even more money from that one, great, let's do it. Like, I don't think that she's going to be sitting there in sort of Gen X agony going, oh, if I make Barbie 2, am I selling out?
I just mean maybe she wants to do something totally new and like would be not inspired by the same characters again.
Yeah, I think she can, but she can do any next movie that she wants. So
maybe she'll just make do with Barney instead of Barbie.
I want her to do something different, I think, as a consumer. And a human.
I want her to do Barbie 2, I have to say. I thoroughly enjoyed Barbie 1, and I'm like, let's see where she can take this. I'm sure, you know, it's not going to be a, you know, as you say, like, Barbie has now become a real woman in the real world. And where that can go, there's a million different ways that can go.
Felix, if you had to sum up the reasons why Barbie is a slate money movie, could you do it?
I mean, I think there were two reasons. One is the conversation that we were having about like the sort of have it both ways approach that it has to capitalism. Like you watch it feeling like it's doing something terribly transgressive, where it's critiquing you know, the very forces that created it, but ultimately it doesn't, and it becomes weirdly a great sort of celebration of capitalism, both on the screen and, as I say, like off the screen when all of these women who made it started making shit tons of money. So I think between the on-screen issues around like how are we presenting this economic world that we're in, and the off-screen sort of meta-narrative about like Mattel and capitalism and making money off this movie and making people buy toys and making a bunch of women very rich by having made it. I think there's a lot to sort of get your teeth into there.
Yeah, I think that's right. That sounds right. I was just wondering about it right before we started. I was like, wait a second. There's no frozen concentrate orange juice futures, or what are we gonna?
Yeah, it's not trading places. I will grant you that. But Trading Places, I'm pretty sure, did not pass the Bechdel test, and this one most definitely does.
That's what I was gonna say. All these movies directed by women for women viewers, they pass whatever the opposite of the Bechdel test is. There's always a bunch of dudes in them. Like after the Amazon scene in Wonder Woman, she had a sidekick guy for the whole movie, mm-hmm. right? And like Barbie has Ken. Like you don't see like an all girl kind of movie ever still, you know? I don't know.
Bridesmaids.
Because we just came on. Oh yeah, except Bridesmaids. Okay, fine.
And I think you see it more in comedies. You know, because then you have the Girls Trip and things like that.
Yeah,
I feel like usually
okay.
if you want like a full Scratch female it. Cast, it's like comedies. But I agree, like in these really big budget ones helmed by women, you still have to sprinkle in the men's.
You got to get some eye candy in there.
Can I just take this opportunity to recommend that everyone, if you want to see an amazing feminist movie, go see The Women from 1939
with Joan Crawford.
Where not only is every single character a woman, you never see a man on screen, but like you never see a man on screen. Like the director was careful to make sure that even when you see a framed photograph on a desk, it's a photograph of a woman. It's pure women all the way through, and it's a Ooh. Wonderful movie.
Well, I'll have to go see that.
We should probably bring it back to Barbie. You guys all loved it, right? But let's just go down the list. Letter grades. Elizabeth?
I gave it an A. It surpassed my expectations pretty heavily. So.
Emily?
Oh, yeah. I give it an A. It was so fun and enjoyable. It made me laugh. And I did even tear up at points. So, I mean, yes, A all the way.
I'll give it an A minus, I think. there's like, I think, partly around the kind of way that I couldn't quite understand what the lead character, there wasn't a lot of character there, that she, there was a little bit of emptiness there, and I could have done with a little bit more sort of coherent plot, but it was a truly enjoyable film all the same. But Shayna, you're the special guest. What is the actual rating for this movie?
I give it like a B to a B plus.
Ooh.
And I think I know why. I think I saw the movie too late. I think this is a movie that works really well right when it comes out, before there's been all of the think pieces and everybody mm-hmm. has put up all the memes, and you've sort of had a lot of different bits and pieces of the movie inadvertently spoiled, no matter what you do, just by being a person in the world. So seeing it, you know, very late behind a lot of people, I think that kind of did something to my experience. I will say, though, that there were a lot of really great bits and pieces of it that I really, really liked. But I agree with Felix. I think some of the character development suffered, particularly with the humans. I mean, I don't know why America Ferrera's daughter was suddenly like, yeah, no, I'm on board with all of this and I love my mom.
That's true.
You know, like there was some of that was lacking and probably could have been helped if there wasn't so much of the Barbie world stuff in the beginning. It felt like the movie took a long time to really get moving. That being said, I loved the Barbie world. I thought the whole movie was incredibly gorgeous. So there was a lot to recommend, but I think I gotta go with like a BB plus, but maybe that was because of my silly self taking way too long to see the Barbie movie.
No, I mean, a good movie has to be timeless, right? It can't be something that you have to see in 2 weeks.
That's true. And I do think that this is one of those movies that will probably stick around in the culture for quite a while. I am curious, though, in like 10 years, do people remember the Barbie movie? Or has it moved on?
Yeah, it's impossible to talk about it now without all the context of its marketing and its promotion and the memes. But in 10 years, you know, when we do it again for Slate Money Goes to the Movies again and again and again, how will we feel? What will we say?
Yeah, we should revisit that. Stick a pin in that. We'll revisit this in 10 years' time.
So perfect.
Barbie won. Did it hold up? In hindsight, it wasn't nearly as good as Barbie 3. Barbie 3 was the best.
Is the holographic version better than the on-screen version?
Is Barbie Goes to Manhattan much better than Barbie 1?
Barbie Takes Manhattan? I would totally watch Barbie Takes Manhattan. That would be such a great movie.
I think you got to go pitch Greta Gerwig now, Felix.
I'm going to go knock on her door. I'm going to be like, Greta, you have to do Barbie Takes Manhattan.
Wasn't that Sex in the City kind of?
I think there was also a Muppets.
Don't they wind up going to Dubai?
They go to Dubai. The Muppets go to Manhattan, though.
The Muppets took Manhattan. First it was the Muppets, then it's Barbie. That's how it works. All right. Thank you very much, Shayna, for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks to Patrick Fort for doing what Shayna has historically done on the show, which is actually produce the thing. And we'll be back on Saturday with a regular Slate Money.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.